Good to see Brother Jason slipped in. I want you to continue praying for little Paisley. And I know that he desires your prayers. If you have a Bible this evening, turn with us to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 21. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 21. Let's read about four verses there this evening, starting in verse number 12. Matthew 21 and verse number 12. You there with me tonight, say amen. The Bible said, and Jesus went into the temple of God, cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye've made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for the good day that you've given us. I pray now you'd take the Word of God. I pray that you'd challenge our hearts. You'd direct our paths. Lord, I pray now that you'd help me preach tonight. I'm a needy preacher. I sure do need you. I thank you for helping me this morning. I pray you'd touch thy Word tonight. If it be one here lost, I pray you'd draw them by your grace, mercy, and goodness. Help us now. Let preaching be easy tonight. And we sure will be grateful to you. And give you the honor and the glory for it all. In Christ's name, amen and amen. You'll notice that Jesus went in the temple of God. Now, a little bit of history on this passage. Here, one time a year, the people had to go and they had to give a sacrifice for their sins. Here in this temple was not, as we think, as inside this closed area, but some of the commentators say that it could have been 8 to 10 acres. It was the outer courts of the temple. There they'd set up a market. There they had the sheep and the oxen. They had the doves. The money changers were there because people was coming in, as you would think, from a foreign country. Didn't have their currency. They would trade their money, and many of these men would cheat them. They would shortchange them. A lot of the people that had nothing, they were taken advantage of in this court. And so Jesus comes in upon the scene, and tonight I will preach on this thought on when Jesus cleans out the temple. When Jesus cleans out the temple. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, verse number 12, and Jesus went into the temple of God. You'll see there's a report about the temple. He's walking. Now, I'm glad one day that he moved into my house. This report about the temple, he's walking. And did you know because he came inside, it makes it a house place? Now in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, if you turn there, I want you to notice this verse tonight. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 16. Here Paul's writing and he says this about the temple being a house place. He said, what agreement or accord with hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing and I will receive you. Now notice he said this, for ye are the temple of the living God. This is a house place. I'm glad one day that Jesus walked in my temple. And now he's made it a house place by the grace of God. Isn't that amazing how the Bible reads? He said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Isn't this amazing that we have a house place, that God lives inside of us? That is an amazing scripture to me to think that God loved us enough that He'd send His Son to get on the cross, and by grace through faith He'd save us and come and live in us. So it makes us the temple of God. I'm glad it is a house place tonight. Now notice in this report about the temple, He's walking. It makes it a house place. Then in Ephesians 2, because He lives in us, it makes it a holy place. Talking upon our body being the temple of God. And so we find here it is a holy place, Ephesians 2, verse number 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Now, the report about the temple He's walking, not only is our body a house place, it should be a holy place, a place of purity, a place where Jesus lived. Now, I know this church good enough to know when I come in the back door this evening, I knew there would not be a card game set up here in the altar and people passing out chips and playing cards. I knew it would not be a bingo game set up in here. I knew that it wouldn't be a bar set up in here. How come you know that, preacher? Because this is the temple of God when we're here. But can I tell you, why would you not allow things like that in a physical building, but you'd allow them in your spiritual building? Now, not only is it a house place, but it's a holy place. And because He lives in us, it makes it a habited place. Oh, I'm glad God lives inside of me. You'll notice this in Ephesians 2 and 22, in whom ye also are builded together, look, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Boy, isn't that amazing? God lives in us. What a great Bible truth. That one day God moved in. Now He lives in us. I'd like to challenge everybody in the building tonight to realize this. You might not know especially the date. You might not know the time. But let me tell you, friend, when Jesus walks in the temple, you'll know when He moved in. I'll guarantee you that, friend. He is so big. Matter of fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, He said, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now that must be a big house. Because He's a big God. And I'm going to tell you something about this temple. You'll notice the report about the temple, He's walking. I'm glad He's walking inside of us as the temple of God. When we leave this place, I'll remind you, God's not here. Matter of fact, sometimes it gets spooky when nobody else is. Y'all come in here and listen to things going on when nobody's here. But I can tell you one thing, honey. God's not in a building like this. God's in the temple. He's walking in us, and we ought to be careful where we're taking Him into, and we ought to be careful what we're pouring down on Him, and we ought to be careful what we're letting Him listen to. We ought to be careful what we're letting Him look at, because He's living in us, and it's a holy place, and it's a habited place, and that God lives in my temple tonight. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm glad He lives inside of me. Now you'll notice when Jesus comes in the temple, you'll see the report about the temple, He's walking. But secondly, watch this, there's a recognizing in the temple, He's a watching. Now watch what He does. The Bible simply says this, so simple. And He went in the temple of God and He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. There's a recognizing in the temple, He's a watcher. Now I want to say that if the temple's wrong, everything else is wrong. The best church we ever going to have is the church that we bring in here. And I said all that to say this. If our temple's wrong, everything else is wrong. And so certainly there's a recognizing in the temple. He's a watching. What do you mean? Well, isn't it amazing that what looked okay to everybody else was wrong to him? Nobody else thought nothing was wrong in what they were doing. But can I remind you, that's where our convictions come in play. Can I remind you tonight that that's where our sanctification comes in at. And boy, this recognizing in the temple, he's watching. When he moves in, he sees things that offends him. I don't want nothing inside of me that offends me. Now I'm going to tell you another thing. There was no room for him, and he loves to have plenty of room. He's a big God, and it takes a lot for him. And I sure am glad that he has moved in my heart and made it a house place tonight. But notice when he's a-watching, he found some things that didn't look good to him. Can I give you a good scripture to live by tonight? Turn in Acts 24. I want you to underline this verse, and it sure will help you in your daily living. It'll help you in your walk of life. This verse right here, I do when the cows come home. Now watch this, Acts chapter number 24 and verse number 16. Talking about there was a recognizing in the temple, he's watching. He's seen some things that looked okay to everybody else. But in Acts 24 and 16, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, a conscience is like an alarm clock. It wakes us out of sleep. A bothered conscience is like rocks in your bed. And then I want to say this. A good conscience will be comfort in all troubles, but an evil conscience will be trouble in all comforts. Let me say that again. A good conscience will be a comfort in all troubles, but an evil conscience will be trouble in all comforts. Somebody said that our conscience is God's watchdog of the soul. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's a recognizing in the temple, he's a watching. And it don't matter what anybody else thinks is all right. It's what he thinks is all right. There's things in my life that I cannot do that you can do. There are things in my life I can do that you cannot do. But I tell you one thing I've noticed just in the passage and in my life. When Jesus walks in the temple, he's doing some watching. He's recognizing some things that he's uncomfortable with. And that leads me to the third point tonight. Not only report about the temple, he's a-walking. And the recognizing about the temple, he's a-watching. But thirdly, look what he does. There's a remodeling in the temple, he's a-working. Now what's he doing? Well, Bible said he cast out all them that sold. And then he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold up. Now, he overthrew the tables. There's a remodeling in the temple. He is a-working. You notice this, the house will look pretty good. You get under the table. And he just turned the table over. Have you ever noticed when he turns the tables over, there's things under there that you didn't think was there? You know what God will do when he remodels the temple? He turns things over. And boy, he throws things out. I'm glad it's a lot of things in my life from the day he saved me. They ain't in there no more. Because he's throwed that junk out. Somebody say amen. He's turned some tables over. And I know he'll turn some chairs over too, neighbor. Boy, there's a remodeling going on. Thank God. I may not be what I ought to be, but I'm glad I ain't what I used to be. I'm glad when Jesus moves in, He remodels and there's a working going on. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 4, watch this in the Bible. Here's a great truth tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want you to look in verse number 1, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 1. On the remodeling in the temple, He's a-working. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God. And underline this, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now I'm interested there in verse number 3. Look what the Bible says. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. You know, older Christians, remember this. You didn't get where you are tonight in just a couple of services. Your sanctification. My sanctification. Don't look down at somebody because you've got a little closer to God. It took you a few days to get there. And you know, aren't you glad that God is long-suffering? But you'll notice here, not only in this report about the temple He's walking, and the recognizing in the temple He's a-watching, but here, there's a remodeling in the temple He's a-working. Now, I preach this message at Brother Brian Bridges at Sunrise Baptist Church up in Hartsville, Alabama. There was a little girl there that I've noticed every year that I've been there preaching. She's just a special little girl. She's always sort of just, I don't know, it's just a special little child. She's sitting there in the pew with her mom and daddy when I came in the first night, and she waved at me and she said, "Hello, preacher." And so that week, the message came up and God put this on my heart and I preached it. And I looked at her, I can remember that particular night. She had her little baby doll in her arm. She had a coloring book in her lap and she was just a coloring away. And boy, she was just minding her own business, I thought. Well, got done with the revival and I come home and came to church here Sunday. Monday morning, my phone rang. I answered the phone. I didn't recognize the young man's voice. And he said, "Brother Ken," said, "I just wanted to tell you something." Said, "Yesterday morning at church, our little girl, she's only, I think, 5 years old. She came and got me and my wife, took us to the altar and said she needed to be saved." And you know, he said, "Brother Ken, I really doubted, did she know what she is doing? It bothered me because she is so young." He said, we bowed in the altar and we began to pray with her. And she asked the Lord to come into her heart and to save her. And so he said, I went to doubting, did our little girl really get saved? He said, Sunday evening I was at home. And he said, I asked her, "What happened at church this morning?" He said, "Preacher, you know what she told me? She said, 'Daddy, it's just like that preacher said. Said Jesus cleaned out my temple.'" What are you talking about tonight? Boy, I'm glad He cleans out our temples. You know, Brother Mike, Brother Allen, I was sitting there. Brother Joe, I was thinking a lot of times, seems like the devil will tell you, "What in the world are you doing preaching? There's nobody listening. They've done heard all that before. Why don't you just close your Bible and say a prayer and go on home?" But what I didn't know, Brother Tim, there was a mom and daddy's little girl out there, had a baby doll in this arm, a coloring book on this knee, and she is a coloring. But the Holy Ghost talked to her about cleaning out her temple. Boy, I'm glad there's a God tonight that can clean out our temple. You know, you'll notice here when Jesus cleans out the temple, there's a report about it. He's walking. I'm glad one day He walked into my temple. I'll never forget the day that He done that. I'd been baptized. That never did do nothing for me. I was raised in a church. Every time the doors opened, I was took there. I knew right from wrong, but I'd never been saved. But that Saturday over yonder in that trailer where we live now, Brother Elmer Kaysen, he's in heaven tonight. He come, walked in that trailer. He looked at me and he said, "Ken, have you ever been saved?" And I lied. I said, "Oh, yeah." I just warned him to leave. When he left, something happened. God stayed, began to trouble my heart. And that next Sunday morning at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, I don't even know what Brother Elmer preached. God had me under house arrest. Boy, I sure am glad I took that step. And when I took that step, Jesus remodeled my temple. You know, little did I know what all I got that day. The Spirit of God come and lived in me. When I start to do wrong now, something was different. I was convicted of what I was doing. It was a lot louder than my conscience. Now is a grievance inside me where God is living. When I say something off-colored, God would deal with me. When I do something, God would deal with me. I sure am glad He's a walking around in my temple tonight. And that leads me to the last point this evening. Watch it. Not only there's a report, He's walking in the temple. There's a recognizing in the temple, He's a watching. There's a remodeling in the temple, He's a working. But there's a reaction in the temple. Now they worship Him. You know, I believe this with all my heart. You're never going to worship God till you clean out the temple. Watch what happened. He said that He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, "It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye made it a den of thieves." And when He cleaned it out, the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple saying, "Hosanna, the Son of David," they were sore displeased. What was going on? Oh, there was worshiping going on at the temple. Boy, I'm going to tell you tonight, the reason a lot of times we can't worship, because it's too much clutter in the temple. I sure am glad one day He came to where I was. You know something? There's none of us here that's perfect. But I can tell you this, it's probably a lot of us that could be closer than where we are tonight. I sure do thank Him that He come in, He seen things that look good to everybody else, but He says, "You know what? That's going to get you in trouble if you keep with that." Said, "You know, it's time you get rid of that, and God will deal with me, and I get it out of my life." And you know some things, I'll be honest with you folks, and you'd laugh if I'd tell you. There are some things that He won't let me do that He'll let you do. And there are some things that you can't do that He'll let me do. I'm not going to preach my convictions on you. I'm simply telling you this. When Jesus walks in the temple, there'll be a change. Brother Allen, I want you to come tonight. I want you to play me a verse of something, sing a song. I want to open up our altar this evening. I don't know why God had me to preach this, but I just know that He wants me to. And this thing's been arising up in me since I left here this morning. I want to tell you something, that when Jesus walks in the temple, there'll be a change. You may be here tonight, you've never experienced this, but you know this. He's wanting to walk in your temple. You know what I do? I say, "Lord, I sure do ask You to come and live in me. Forgive me of my sins." Maybe be somebody here tonight. He's highlighted a few days, some things that you need to take care of in your temple. Won't you come tonight? This altar is open, whatever you need. You may be like the little girl. You're ready for Jesus to come in and clean out your temple. He loves you tonight. And He don't care what you've done. But I'm glad He loves you. Whatever you need tonight, if you may simply need to pray, you come. While our brother sings, would you come?